All around us, there are living laws. I'm not talking about man-made laws that regulate traffic or commerce, but laws such as gravity, centrifugal force, and the motion of objects. It is only because of these living laws that we can calculate the trajectory of an object traveling through space. Without them, man would never have been able to travel to the moon and return safely. Without the law of gravity, we would need to be tied down, or we would merely drift off into space. Of course, without gravity, life on this planet would not be possible, as we would not have an atmosphere providing oxygen to breathe. But do you realize that there are other living laws at work around us? Laws that govern health, happiness, and even success. Consider, we know that in order to enjoy good health, we must eat nutritious foods, drink plenty of pure water, exercise, and get sufficient rest. If we violate these principles, we will suffer the consequences of ill health. In the same way, there are living laws that lead to success in life. When properly practiced, these laws lead to lasting fulfillment. But when broken, they lead to frustration, emptiness, and disappointment. If you want to learn more about these living laws, stay tuned. Welcome to Tomorrow's World. Many years ago, a man by the name of Herbert W. Armstrong was commissioned by a national magazine in the United States to find out why some businesses succeeded and why others failed. In the process, he learned that successful businessmen had certain definable characteristics in common, characteristics that were lacking in those who failed. Many years later, he wrote a booklet titled The Seven Laws of Success. And he taught these laws to a generation of students on three college campuses, one in England and two in the United States. I was privileged to attend the Pasadena, California campus and to be in the presence of this man, to hear him expound on this subject and many other subjects. The goal of these Ambassador College campuses was to teach young people not only how to earn a living, but also how to live. From January 1968 until his death on January the 16th in 1986, at the age of 93, Mr. Armstrong traveled the globe speaking to many of the world's most important leaders about the meaning of life, about the way of peace, and about what real success is. He came to China in 1984, where he had an audience with Deng Xiaoping. And in 1985, he brought the little ambassadors from Shanghai to tour in the United States, where they appeared on stage in the famed Ambassador College Auditorium. He also brought them to Washington, D.C., where they performed before President and Mrs. Ronald Reagan. And he brought Chinese acrobats to perform in the Ambassador Auditorium. Among the distinguished leaders with whom Mr. Armstrong met were King Leopold III of Belgium, King Hussein of Jordan, Emperor Hirohito of Japan, as well as his brother Prince Mikasa, and seven Japanese prime ministers. He also had audiences with Emperor Haile Selassie of Ethiopia and Prime Ministers Golda Meir, Yitzhak Rabin, and Menachem Begin of Israel, as well as Egyptian presidents Hosni Mubarak and Anwar Sadat, and had a close relationship with the King and Queen of Thailand. Among his other acquaintances were Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher of Britain and King Juan Carlos of Spain. Scores of cabinet-level officials, ambassadors, legislators, leading businessmen, and industrialists from around the world were numbered among his many friends and acquaintances. Since my graduation in 1969, I've come to appreciate the wisdom of this remarkable man. What Mr. Armstrong taught has served me well, And in the remainder of this program, the first in a two-part series, I'm going to share with you three of those seven laws of success. Now, before going any further, realize that we are not considering here general principles of character such as honesty, patience, loyalty, courtesy, dependability, punctuality, proper grooming, etc. These are characteristics essential for all facets of life. They are character traits each one of us should possess and instill in our children. They are, in a sense, embodied within the seven laws. However, many people who are honest and loyal and dependable are not successful in life in general. In his booklet, The Seven Laws of Success, Mr. Armstrong wrote, "Most people have no aim. They are merely the victims of circumstance. They never plan purposefully to be in the job or occupation in which they find themselves today. They do not live where they live by choice, that is, because they planned it that way. They have merely been buffeted around by circumstance. They have allowed themselves to drift. They have made no effort to master and control circumstances." Yes, many people drift through life with no apparent direction. They merely exist from day to day, hoping to be happy, successful, and prosperous. Now, if you really think about it, does this make any sense? Of course not. Let's take a ridiculous example. What chance do you think a man would have of landing on the moon if he randomly shot himself into space? He almost surely would not land safely on the moon, some quarter of a million miles from the Earth, nor would he have any reasonable chance of returning safely. In 1969, when astronauts Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin set foot on that glorious orb in the night sky, it was the end of years of work by nearly a third of a million men and women working toward a clearly defined goal. That goal was to put a man on the moon and return that man or those men safely to Earth. There was no ambiguity here. Their goal was precise, not fuzzy. So here is the first law. Fix the right goal. By this, we do not mean any goal. Many people are what we call goal-oriented, but true success eludes them. For one person, success means making money, lots of it. For another, it is to become famous. And to become both rich and famous appears to be the combination most desired. But is this real success? The book we know of as the Bible is a most remarkable book, and through it we can begin to understand the true values of life. God, through the ancient prophet Isaiah, challenges us with these words from the 55th chapter of the book named after himself. "Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight in its abundance." How many rich and famous people who seem to have it all end up a train wreck? They chase after true success in all of the wrong directions. Their bank accounts may be full, but their lives are empty. They often end in a state of depression and despondency. On a personal level, I have known a number of millionaires and can vouch for the fact that money did not bring them happiness or success. This first law of success involves knowing, first of all, what is success? One of the great charismatic figures in 20th century America was Lee Iacocca. There is little doubt that he achieved more than average wealth and fame. He rose from a working-class family to the top of two great American automobile corporations, Ford and Chrysler. In his book, Talking Straight, page 3, he explores the meaning and purpose of life and finds family to be more important than fame and power. "My kids were always what mattered most in my life. Maybe I feel that way because the rest of my life turned out okay. But if I had conquered the world and they had turned out badly, I know I would have considered myself a flop. As I start the twilight years of my life, I try to look back and figure out what it was all about. I'm still not sure what is meant by good fortune and success. I know that fame and power are for the birds. But then life suddenly comes into focus for me, and ah, there stand my kids. I love them. From this quote, we learn that Mr. Iacocca saw through the emptiness of fame and fortune. He clearly saw that family was far more important. But as wonderful and admirable as family is, does having a happy family define true lasting success? If a man lives 100 years, if he advances to the top in his chosen career and amasses great wealth and all that it can buy, if he enjoys a long and happy marriage with respectful children to carry on after him, can he truly claim success if he never knew the purpose for his existence? Consider, why life? Why are you here? Are you the product of blind chance? Or is there a transcendent purpose for your existence? If so, can you be truly successful if you never learn what that purpose is? By all outward appearances, Lee Iacocca had been a success. Not only did he excel in the business world, which brought great monetary rewards and a greater than normal amount of notoriety, but he apparently succeeded in raising two wonderful daughters. Yet he himself admits, quote, "I'm still not sure what is meant by good fortune and success," end of quote. And he also recognizes that true success in some way transcends the here and now. Note again from Talking Straight, this time pages 68 and 69. Another of the rituals that mean a lot to me is prayer. Almost without fail, I pray every night. I started that routine as a kid, and I've kept it up all these years. Why should I, a grown man, pray? Don't I have better things to do? As I get older, I think more and more about what comes next. I know there's got to be something else after this life is over, because I can't grasp the alternative. I can't imagine that through all eternity I'll never see anyone I love again, that my whole awareness will just be obliterated. I've always marveled at how belief in the hereafter gets accentuated as people grow older. Until their deathbeds, many of the great minds in science thought that because after death there would no longer be a body, that was it. But now when they have to go, suddenly they want to believe in somebody up there because they don't know where they're going and they're scared, sort of scared to death, you might say. It's a little late by then. Yes, many people reject God and fail to consider the big questions of life until time runs out and they find themselves unable to discover and to prove to themselves life's meaning. It is one thing to hear something, another to search out and prove it, to prove it so thoroughly to yourself that you truly believe it. And as the Apostle Paul rightly tells us, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Having a goal is essential to success in any venture, but having the right goal when it comes to the big question of life is what really matters. King David ruled Israel during the time of the early Zhou dynasty, and this wise and insightful Jewish king asked the most important question of all. "What is man that you," meaning God, "are mindful of him?" Yes, what is man? Why are we here? What purpose is there in life? Are we here as a result of blind, senseless, and meaningless chance? If so, the whole question of success has absolutely no relevance. What difference does it make if we are happy or sad? And how can one truly judge success if there is no lasting purpose? 1,000 years from now, what eternal difference is there? Can one claim greater meaning to life and lasting success than the other? As wise King Solomon of Israel mused, "As it happens to the fool, it also happens to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity, for there is no more remembrance of the wise than of the fool forever. Since all that now is will be forgotten in the days to come. And how does a wise man die? As the fool." So while setting goals in life is necessary for all achievement, success is only true success if it lasts. Physical life is temporary, and the older we get, the more this realization sinks in. It is intellectually fashionable to reject meaning for life, but if there is no grand purpose given to us by a creator of life, in the end, it makes no difference whether one is wise or a fool, whether one conquers the world or dies in obscurity, whether one heals the sick or drifts through life meaninglessly. Therefore, it would appear that the first goal of life is to discover its meaning. Herbert Armstrong explains the importance of fixing the right goal. There should be an overpowering purpose to life. Few have ever known such purpose. Down through the centuries and millenniums, thinkers and philosophers have pondered and sought in vain to learn whether life has a real purpose. Socrates, Plato, Augustine, among others, speculated and reasoned, yet the true meaning of life eluded them. This deepest and most important question in life remained in them a mystery, an unsolved enigma. If one could discover such an overall purpose, a definite purpose for which humans were put on earth, if one could discover a human potential greater than mere temporary existence, one would think that purpose would be the goal that should excite dynamic ambition. You may be thinking right now, okay, if the great philosophers of old could not discover the meaning of life, what hope have I? Sadly, the world as a whole has rejected the very source that provides the answer. And even those who look to that source fail to accept the clear answer it gives, choosing rather to accept tradition over clearly stated truth. One person believes God exists. Another person believes there is no God. Which is right? Both sincerely believes his view is correct, usually based on assumptions which he grew up with as a child. But has either one truly proved his view? In most cases, the emphatic answer is no. It is human nature to believe that one's own beliefs, no matter how irrational they may be, are correct. We all know that the other person is wrong, but others think that we are wrong. What about you? Is it possible that what you have believed all your life or what you were taught in some university just might be wrong? Maybe there is a God, and maybe there is a purpose to life. And maybe that purpose is different from what you might have been taught. And if so, is it possible that your pursuit of success through the acquisition of money and all that it will buy of fame and prestige might in the end leave you empty and unsatisfied? Maybe it's time to step out of the rat race and ask the most important questions. What is true lasting success? What is the meaning of life? And why am I here? The second law of success is preparation through education. Education is necessary in achieving just about any goal, whether it is becoming an electrical engineer or discovering the purpose of life. Knowledge is important in any endeavor. Yet how many expect success without putting forth the time and effort to educate themselves about the subject of their dreams? Setting a goal to travel to the moon and return safely is one thing, but to accomplish that goal is another. Education is essential. Understanding physics, rocketry, calculus, mechanics, and dozens of other disciplines is essential. Without serious study, such a goal is impossible. It just isn't going to happen. Neither can one truly know if there is a real God and the meaning of life without studying the subject with an open mind. Again, real success is only possible if it truly lasts, if it lasts forever. Anything less than this ceases at death, and the goal of lasting success cannot be achieved without study. The Bible is a unique book, claiming to represent the Word of God. In effect, it is an instruction book on life with a promise of eternal life. If there is life after death, what source is there that one can really go to learn about it? Well, the Bible truly stands out above all other books. No book has ever been translated into more languages and been distributed more widely over a longer period of time than the Bible. Maybe, just maybe, it is worth looking into. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. The question of God's existence is essential to prove if you want to have true, lasting success. Herbert Armstrong wrote, the basic and most essential knowledge, the true values, the meaning and purpose of life, the way to peace, to happiness, and abundant well-being, these basics are never taught. Right education must teach that all things are a matter of cause and effect, that for every result, whether good or evil, there is a cause. True education will teach the cause of this world's evils, of personal or collective troubles, so that they may be avoided. Also, it must instruct in the cause of the good results, that we may know how to win them instead of the troubles. Right education must not stop at teaching to live. It must know and teach the purpose of human life and how to fulfill it. So the second law of success is education toward the right goal. The third all-important law is maintain good health. Let's face it, we are physical beings subject to sickness and death. We all want to live a long and healthy life, but how many fail to enjoy vibrant health with plenty of energy? Is good health a matter of chance, or are there laws that govern good health? Here again, the first two laws of success come into play. Maintaining a strong body, free from disease, is not something that just happens. One must see this as a goal to work toward, and one must educate oneself on the laws of health. There is a cause for every effect, and this is certainly true when it comes to physical well-being. Just as there is a cause for good health, so there is a cause for disease. We generally understand that if we eat the wrong foods, don't get enough sleep, and don't get proper exercise, we're headed for trouble. How many young men and women pick up the cigarette habit, thinking this will make them look more chic, sophisticated, popular? In a word, successful. Any short-term benefit is eventually overshadowed by income going up in smoke, an enslaving habit, and greater levels of disease. The cause is tobacco. The effect is cancer, heart disease, emphysema, and death. Did you know the Bible gives us specific instructions on how to maintain good health? For example, note these proverbs. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. These proverbs indicate your state of mind is important to your health, something that modern medicine is beginning to understand. There are a number of other biblically-based laws clearly defined which teach us how to enjoy vibrant health. But I'm going to save those for another program. The point is, there is a cause for every effect, either for good or for bad. And nowhere is this more evident than concerning the subject of good health. And you will be greatly hampered toward success in any endeavor if you suffer poor health. how much more you can accomplish when your mind is clear, your body is strong and filled with energy to tackle the task at hand. Now let's review the first three of our seven laws of success. The first law is fix the right goal. The second, educate yourself toward that goal. And the third law is maintain good health. If you would like to learn more about the meaning of life, please go to our website where you can download our informative booklet, Your Ultimate Destiny. You will be amazed at what the Bible actually teaches. You will also find other informative booklets related to today's topic that will help you understand the most important questions in life. And be sure to tune in next week to Tomorrow's World, where I will be giving you the last four of the seven laws of success. See you then.
If you would like to discover more about how today's topic impacts your life, then take the time to examine the free literature offered on this program at tomorrowsworldhk.com. Find real answers to life's most puzzling and challenging questions at tomorrowsworldhk.com. At our website, you'll find valuable articles revealing God's principles for living an abundant and happy life, while providing rare insight into current and future events. So don't delay. Visit us now at tomorrowsworldhk.com.
The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.